Hi everyone, this is Klaatu. I'm at Ohio Linux Fest, and I'm standing here talking with some guy from SourceForge. What is your name, anyway?
My name's Chris Everest.
Hey, Chris. So, you came with SourceForge today. What do you do for SourceForge?
I work with SourceForge Site Operations. So the team that I work with maintains all the infrastructure and handles all the production deployments for SourceForge.net/.org.
Oh, okay.
And some other smaller sites, like Geek.net, which is our parent corporation.
What about Fresh Meat? Is that a SourceForge?
Fresh
thing,
Meat,
right?
Is also affiliated with Geek.net,
okay.
And we also do we maintain the infrastructure for FreshMeat.org.net. Gosh, it's so bad I don't remember that.
One of those things.
I said one of them.
www.
Yeah, one of those takes you to a bogus domain. One of them.
Oh, okay,
correct.
Okay. All right, one of those. That's cool. I think probably a lot of the listeners of Hacker Public Radio are going to kind of know SourceForge already, but in case there are people who don't, what exactly is SourceForge.net?
SourceForge is an outlet for open source developers, open source projects. We provide any service that you could possibly want to maintain an open source project. Source code management and all the variety of source code management softwares you could think of. Project web space, database hosting, forums, ticketing, anything. I could go on and on, but anything you would need to maintain project management for a group of distributed people.
So actually, I didn't even know that. So if you've got like a software project that you're working on, you decide you need a place for that code to live so that, you know, people can download it and work on it or whatever, then you can actually have like a bug tracker, and that's already kind of a part of SourceForge?
Correct.
Oh,
correct.
That's nice.
And right now we are rebuilding the SourceForge interface to provide those types of one-off services like bug tracker, forums, things like that, to redesign them and make them easier to use.
Okay.
So
I'm going to latch onto bug tracking,
sure,
because that's kind of like the thing that I know about,
mm-hmm.
whereas like a lot of that other stuff I don't. But for instance, so this SourceForge bug tracker is a SourceForge bug tracker. It's not like Bugzilla or Mantis or something. You know, it's like its own little bug tracking system?
Correct.
Okay.
We previously, in fact, we still do support a Mantis instance if you are tied to Mantis and love Mantis. But we are also building an integrated tracker that is more tightly integrated with any of the source code management that you might choose to use.
Okay.
So, or the wiki, say, that you choose to use.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Where our bug tracker can use sort of certain macros that would tie into, say, a wiki page or a source code revision,
okay,
or a user or a project admin. So it makes it easier to input text and tie into your project services that are already existing.
Okay, very cool. Now, the way that you get code to and from SourceForge, I would imagine, off the top of my head, I would guess SVN, but do you guys do other stuff like Git and Mercurial?
Yes,
or
we
whatever?
Do. I want to say we do every source code management that is almost mainstream. Bazaar, Mercurial, Git, Subversion. We still do CVS, which is an old system, but we do have a lot of people who really like using it,
yeah,
and we plan on maintaining it into
okay.
the future. Coincidentally, we're rewriting our CVS service infrastructure over the next probably quarter to make it more robust in the future so that we can support it longer.
Okay.
I think I hit all of the source code repositories that we support.
Right. Okay, well, one thing, I mean, it's funny because I knew about SourceForge like way back in the day before I even knew what SourceForge was, because I'm a multimedia kind of guy and I downloaded Audacity and of course it's hosted on SourceForge,
right.
So it's just like I've always known that name, never really understood what it was, but that's the cool thing about SourceForge to me is that it's really friendly to even like the newbiest of noobs, you know, I mean,
yes.
They're a Mac user, they're a Windows user, they go to SourceForge, I think I want to say it auto detects their OS now and kind of
yes.
suggests, hey, you should be looking at this category, or, you know, if you search for something, it shows you the stuff that's applicable to your OS.
Right. And that's also dependent on the project's knowing how to navigate our system, because
okay.
say you submit a new release of Audacity and you're an Audacity project administrator, or developer, you can say, I've got three new releases, one's for Mac, one's for Windows, one's for Linux, and then our system will supply that release that they specified. So, so it's that's, you know, another service that we offer to projects to make their lives easier and to get their software to users better.
Okay. So this is kind of a silly question, but I mean, let's say that I do have a software project. I do want to start hosting it on SourceForge. Like, what's the, do I have to get it approved, or do I just, like, sign up, or what's the process?
There's no approval process.
Okay.
You create a user account, and you create a project, and you create a tool in your new project to, say, start up a new Git repository.
Right.
And as soon as that Git repository is created, it will provide you URLs that are associated with your project.
Okay.
You can even create source code repositories for your user instance, so you don't even have to create a project anymore. So, say you created user ID Klaatu, you could have a Klaatu Git repository.
Oh, nice.
That would be, you know, klaatu.git.sourceforge.net.
Okay.
I'm paraphrasing that URL, but
right,
you get
the
idea.
Yeah, okay. And that could, I mean, so if I just have some, I don't know, really handy shell scripts that I came up with that I just never want to part with or something, I could sort of like have that associated with my username.
Exactly.
Okay, I get it. That's really cool. Is there anything particularly unique, although I've actually heard a couple of things that I can think of off the top of my head, but from your perspective, is there anything particularly unique about SourceForge over, for instance, I mean, you know, like there's a lot of those hosting sites out there like Launchpad and Gatorius, GitHub, things like that. You know, like what is there anything?
The main differentiator for SourceForge is our download and distribution network. When you go to, say, you know, download Audacity, so to speak, in the background, the stuff that you don't see is we maintain a global list of mirrors. And we distribute all those releases all over the world as soon as we can. As soon as you upload something, we send it out to as many mirrors as possible. So, say a user in Korea wants to download software, they don't have to, you know, wait an hour to get it from a Chicago mirror or something like that. And a lot of these other, source code hosting websites, maybe they just package up a revision of the latest revision of Git and offer a tarball.
Yeah.
Whereas we'll distribute the full binaries. And we also support all the command line tools for downloads too, like wget or curl, stuff like that.
Okay.
So, which is really handy for, you know, system administrators when they're in their shell.
Yeah, script the updates and stuff like that.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
In fact, we just recently worked with a project who was hosting Yum repositories, and we moved that into our download mirror network. So we were able to set up all their Yum packaging for their custom Linux OS through the global distribution network.
Okay.
So it's actually pretty flexible. Yeah, it's really flexible.
All right.
And we have another project that's distributing Ubuntu apt repos through, and we need to work with them to set that up on the mirror network. So We try really hard to work as well as we can with the projects because we know it makes them successful.
What's your background, like, personally? How did you get into this racket?
Well, my background is essentially Linux. I went to school for software programming, but I picked up a Linux box in, I don't know, Red Hat 7 or something.
Yeah.
And I just fell in love with it. And, I did, you know, your random desktop IT support, like, straight out of school, and I just kept hammering away at Linux, knowing that that's what I wanted to do, and luckily, the industry sort of turning around and starting to use Linux enterprise-wide, and SourceForge had a job opening, and we were a good fit because I'm such a Linux geek.
Yeah, very cool.
So.
All right. I don't think I have any other questions. If there's anything that you think I've missed, though, feel free to chime in.
The only thing I want to say is if you're interested or if you have any more questions or any of your listeners do, just hit us up on the SourceForge channel in IRC.
Okay, cool.
We usually have people there during you know, North American working hours.
Yeah.
And we also have an email, SFNet support, that, you know, we answer questions through there. SFNet support at sourceforge.com.
Okay. Cool.
I hope that email address is right.
Well, we'll all find out together.
I don't have it in front of me.
Yeah. All right. Well, cool. Thanks for the info. Thanks for talking to me.
No problem.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever considered recording a podcast, then visit our website to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club. HPR is funded by the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. All BinRev projects are proudly sponsored by Lunar Pages. From shared hosting to custom private clouds, go to lunarpages.com for all your hosting needs. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.